Donc, I will present Peter Hübner for different reasons. The one is that he's a friend.
Well, the principal reason. Then he's an architect and he's a good architect. That means that he is not a tradition modern architect, but someone who is curious about civilization facts, about ecology, which relates people to things, people to people, etc. But I should like to situate that movement into a more general panorama. What is modernity? There is a plot, complot. The principal guilties are Henry Ford and Frederick Taylor. It comes from the age of the bronze. The bronze technology is the first way separating the society into two parts at least. The people busy with bronze and the people not busy with bronze, continuing all the other works of humanity. That is the Taylorism, the first Taylorism of that. And by the way, they invented the free market, because fabricating bronze, they fabricated too much for their own use and they have to do something with the surplus. So they tried to put it along a way, a path, a road, something outside their village, in order to show it to other people. And there was not a miracle, but a souvenir, a remembrance of the old, probably of animal origin, of the reptilian brain, the old hospitality. That means that anyone considers the foreigner, the one who comes from unknown countries, as God. And he has to be more than yourself, you have to share with him, and he will be served first, etc. That's completely forgotten with merchandization of the planet, naturally. It's against trade, merchandise, etc. And the miracle is that they decided suddenly, for communication reasons, that the foreigner was a friend because of hospitality and not an enemy. And that permitted free market. Don't worry, the market didn't remain long term free. What we call free market is a sort of treachery organized by mighty people against poor people. Mighty people, rich people are scarce and poor people are innumerable, so it's easier to take money from the poor to the rich. That's the free market today. That's a mechanism. That sort of modernity, technology and rationality passed through the millennials, through Greek, Roman. By the way, the Roman army was a machine, was a machine tool, machine outil. In order to win battles, they organized people as if they were interchangeable and pieces of a whole thing. Making the square is a terrible weapon by the organization of people. It's an industry. They discovered industry for the war. It has much more successes afterwards, that kind of organizing people against the humanity. That's modernity, by the way. Middle Ages, Renaissance, Enlightenment, finally 19th century democracy. And the allowance to organize that an individual could organize the world following his image, approximately. And In the beginning of the 19th century, in 1810, during the Napoleon Wars, there was a disorder, completely disorder, economical disorder in all Europe, and the first machine tool, weaving tool, came in central England. And the workers, they were not workers, they were artisans, or they were hand workers. They look at that with fear. They saw that a machine could replace 6 persons. And then while they were trying to understand what are they aiming at, they noticed that a machine was built to replace 100 people. So they were scared and they organized themselves. They went to the boss, the bourgeois of the period, and they asked to discuss with him, saying that from Charles I, 1400, etc., they were charged, their community were charged of sharing the work among all the workers and of the quality of the products. And they said, you are against our duty. We are obliged also to destroy your bad quality products because it's not a good weaving. And the boss, as usual, said, the door is there, don't come back. So they wrote letters, very humble, saying, we have to discuss because we are going to the catastrophe, disorder, riots, etc. Go away. So they came back, and very politely they warned the boss that they will come that day in the afternoon and visit the machine tool. But they came 100 together with hammers, and they destroyed the wooden-made machine. And groups of hundreds of people went in all the factories destroying the tools, which was so a big movement that the police couldn't resist. They called the army. The judges were charged to condemn there. They executed thousands of workers because they were against the machine. They lost the war. In France, Louis Renault tried to resist to the machine and the division of the work. Division of the work is that the tailor takes, analyzes, cuts into logical pieces the choreography of a worker weaving something, making his job with skilled gestures, etc., dividing into pieces of gestures and reassemble it in order to have a logical, so a materialistic logical organization. Why? Just to make money, why not? And that is in that period, and the workers by hundreds called them Ned Ludd, the Luddist, the Luddite, in that period were very feared and condemned, and in Paris also, for the printer's machine. But the workers discussed with the bosses and discovered that without the machine they could not print a newspaper during the night. So they did agree at the condition that they organized themselves. So there is a discussion necessary. Modernity now is also without discussion. Well, they had prophets in that time, John Ruskin and William Morris. Ruskin, a philosopher, a poet, and Ruskin, an artisan, cabinet furnishing worker, etc., and had many influences, but they were considered by the intelligentsia in England and Europe as romanticists, but they were humanists. They didn't condemn the progress or the knowledge of the sciences. but they were twisted in order to despise them. Well, it comes back for the moment. Well, let's talk about architecture. The hinges today, that period that revolves slowly between modernism and postmodernism, Momo to Pomo, the postmodernism is not that style of decoration for hairdresser aids that is generally published. But Derrida, etc., by the philosophers, it's something very serious, which is a cracking of the century and turning of a period. Let's take an example in the social housing system. Different three cases. First, the Pruitt and Igoe scheme in St. Louis, Missouri, in America, during the breakthrough of social houses, of socialism and hand planning in America. They built 500,000 square meter of social houses, and they let get in the poor Americans, the Appalachians, the Puerto Ricans, etc., the Indians, and the poor whites, and they vandalized the whole thing. Why? Go and try to know why, but they vandalized it. Practical as they are, they demolished 500,000 square meter. The architect was Minoru Yamasaki, a former Japanese but American family, who is, I don't know if you remember that, the architect of the Twin Towers in Manhattan, and the architect of the Picasso building in Madrid that was nearly destroyed by the ETA. So he's an architect who specialized himself in building to be demolished violently. That's a specialization as another. But that's a sign of something. People complain that architecture has no signification or discourse, but the Twin Towers are exactly the sign of the world finance and the colonization by a race, which is the white race against all the others, and the cultures. So they chose that object. I don't like the idea, but I try to explain that. Another is the Corviale, a building of 1 kilometer long of social houses in the outskirts of Rome that begin to be built when they destroyed the other, his brother, in 72, and that was a place of pilgrimage for modern architects who get there to wonder how wonderful that was 1 kilometer for a social houses building. And I was invited 2 years ago in a symposium whose title was "Have We to Demolish the Corviale?" Because finally they understand that it has no signification in front of the richness of the groups of the society that's getting in, and it's not at all the image. It impedes the normal attitude of people who need a certain scale and a certain system of relations within the architecture for the image of themselves. Well, the future or the present is Peter Hübner. There's something to say with that.
Okay. Yes.
It's always a bit difficult if you start for a lecture, how to start and what to say and which project.
Slowly.
Okay, therefore. I decided not to show mixture of all our projects, or some of our projects, about 70 or 80 projects, which were built in these recent 30 years in my office, which is now run by my son and the partner and me, and his name is Plus, the English Plus, Bauplan and Plus, another small one, and we have a very good detailed homepage, therefore the ones who want to know more may have a look in this. And today I would like to speak about the way we found to speak with the families, the people for which or for whom we were building our houses. And we start always, or we try to start, even when we have won a competition on a point zero again. We say, okay, let us start and discuss the small groups of people. We are 50, we divide them into 6 or 8 parties, 6 to 8 people, and we come with some architects and try to work with them. And we start without any drawings, just discussing the purposes and beginning with models. And mainly the first material we use for model making is clay. Clay, for different reasons, because it has no form and it's a very humane material for your hands, and I think everybody knows how to work with clay and how good you feel. And always after 2 or 3 hours we are meeting, the whole group is reassembling, and we start what the different groups did and discussed the con and pro and changed the material. Changing the material means the next material normally is corrugated cardboard, and we or the clients, the users are always very astonished that the things which looked so beautiful when they saw it in clay and become now stupid in mere boxes. Making sketches makes it a bit better. Okay, this is the one level, the level of the rooms and the level of discussing how the rooms could be put together. The other one is, if we have bigger projects, we try to make even the city planning or the design of a school, or in this case of a community center in Enschede in Holland, and hundreds of rooms have to be put together, and we try it even this in this chaotic way to give the clients the feeling of the difficulty of designing a house. They become some sort of how to say it in English, they are not only or they become aware of the difficulties, and they get more and more engaged, and they are eager to find a solution which is not only good for them but for the others, for the others too. If we have a site like this, triangle site in Enschede in Holland, we try to find a solution for this Forsinian Cluster, the Dutch expression, means a sort of social part of the city with 3 schools, a gymnasium, some shops, some offices, about 40 houses, 30 flats, kindergarten, restaurant and so on. Almost a whole quarter of a city. And we are presenting again to the group what we did, and the other groups do the same. And funny enough, in the end, after 2 or 3 of these meetings, which just normally 1 day and half a day. Everybody is convinced that he is satisfied with the layout or with the way we will build the project. Funny enough, the models and the way shows it in a very, say, almost childish way. But this doesn't matter in this moment, because the identification between the people and their house, which is becoming more and more visible, is the most important of this phase. This is just seen here, having a girder of a house. This is a scale 1 to 10, and this is a school for an Waldorfschule, it's a Steiner school, and it shows that we are going in every scale. Very important is that if we start to build with children, we start with the question, who is the most important, or what is the most important of your building, of your classroom, of your school, and after a lot of answers, the answer that you, the children, are the most important is coming out. As we say, how big are you? If you are the most important, you should know your dimensions. And we write it down, and the children start in scale 1 to 10, the scale which is later shown in the this school in Gelsenkirchen-Bismarck, which was designed by all the pupils, is 1 to 10. That means at first they try to make a small puppet out of clay, 14 or 15 centimeters high. The children which we are working with are mostly in the fifth class, that means they are 10 years old. The creativity of such children is enormous, and they have shame just to start and work and have fun. This is only 2 hours later, and the whole class has found the dimensions which is needed for the class. Sitting on chairs, having tables, all done very roughly in clay. And then we tried to do it in the right scale and say, if we have a group of 30 pupils, how big must the class be, and they sit outside. All wishes for the class were written down, and the next step is then we have decided that the classroom should be maybe 8 by 8 meters or 7 by 9 meters, something like this. And we start with small members of wood and try to find construction over this classroom. And this is done with clamps, or I think clamps, clever. And it's again the second. The second day, the first day was the puppets of clay, and the second day already they tried to have, as the final result, their classroom. And their classroom is shown to the others. This is this. There's missing a slide. Because these classrooms in Gelsenkirchen, there are always 5 classrooms building a classroom wing. The school, they are put together, and we start then
again the next time and say, okay, if we have the things calculated and worked out in our office, we are coming with real drawings, like the carpenter drawings, and making the single sections of the house in a real dimension and a good working construction, and put these things together. Seeing over the plan, like the plans the carpenter would have later. And the children see that this was just the same class, or almost the same class, which they designed 4 weeks ago and put it together, and are very proud, and every class is thinking that it has the very best and utmost design of a classroom which was ever done. Extremely is that the capacity in the class, 30 pupils, is such big that they do all the furniture, all the staircases and the galleries and everything, and in the end it looks almost as if it is a much bigger scale and almost big. Then the materials are discussed, what color should have the floor, what color should have the wall, and so on and so on. And then the house is again put together, and you see here, yeah, this part, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classes, we'll see later. This gets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classes. And in this school in Gelsenkirchen, about 1,000 pupils within 6 years built 30 of this, 30 of these classes, or 6 of this bigger wings. Another project is a climbing hall in the Waldorf school, where we tried to find in the scale 1 to 1, this is very slim members, the height of the building. And if we are working with scale 1 to 1, we are using very small elements. It's almost a bit dangerous and needs a lot of care that nothing happens. But in the end, we show how the building in reality could be. Then when we start with the building, we participate, everybody in the first digging out the ground. It was a sort of the rites or rituals which are needed, which are seldom used now, and all this part of different activities like topping out, or in between festivals in this assembly hall which Peter Brandt-Jones showed yesterday, where 930 pupils are representing the 930 parts of the whole construction, and every single one of the pupils was responsible for his member, his part, and he had to pay, also earn the money for it, maybe 50 or 30 euro for a single member like this, and he was allowed to cut his name into the construction, and therefore the whole thing is a picture of the whole school. And as I told yesterday already, this is building has changed the whole behavior of the school, the feeling how they are a unique community. In our former career, we worked together in self-help with our youngsters and built a lot of houses. We found out that the bigger the projects were, are becoming, the less important is the direct help. The planning is more important. The participation in the planning is even more important than the working with your muscles and building your own house. And in this school in Gelsenkirchen, which I will show later how it is finished, the real help is minimum. It's less than 1% of the half percent. But this is enough. Even this was enough to make the hand railing and the staircases in the classrooms, together with parents or grandfathers, that they say we build our own school. The garden is belonging to our school, and therefore we try to say go on with the participation in having. Participating in all this gardening and green work. So, the biggest school which we built under participating all the pupils and all the teachers and all some of the parents at this evangelic community school in Gelsenkirchen, the Ruhrgebiet in Germany, the northern part of Germany, the coal mine there. And this has a main street, and the main street consists out of different houses, like in a real village. This is the library, this is the city hall, the administration, this is the cinema this is the laboratorium, this is the atelier, this is a workshop, this is a theater, and this is an inn, and this is the house of the German and of the Turkish mothers, which belongs to the city and not to the school. And every single part has these names, and they don't say we are going to the administration, they say we are going to the Rathaus, to the city hall. And for every single part of this architecture, one architect of my office was responsible, and he could do it with great freedom, because we couldn't manage that this was built by different architectural groups, as Christian yesterday told, winning the competition. We had the idea that this main part of the village should have been built by different architectural offices. But now it is built by a different architect. And side wings are always these five classes. You see, the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, fifth year, and sixth year. Now it's finished since 1 year. This is the gymnasium, three partitioning, a big gymnastic hall. Okay, and this is the old school where the last classes, 10, 11, and, or 11, 10, 11, 12, and 13, the highest level of the school is now living. And this shows now the ready school, and you don't have the feeling to be in the school. So people are always saying it looks like a Danish living area, but this is one class, and this is the other class, and third class. And all this one class, second class, third class, fourth class, fifth class are designed by the pupils, and together with the help of the architect, of course. Definitely, this is not built by the children, but nobody in our office, and even me, would have had the idea to design a classroom house like this. And funny enough, all the 6 years, all the 30 classes are totally different. This is for us extremely astonishing that the ideas which came out of these participation workshops are individualistic enough to create always different classes. This is some of the logic. Way this to the glass house, the natural ventilation. This is the chapel. This is over there. This is the library chapel. This is the city hall in Ambration Mark. This is the park here. And think of the models. It looks very similar, what the children did in these models. Now if we enter, we are going into this school, and there are some teachers and some visitors coming there to the school, and they asked at the metro station where the school is. Okay, there's the school. They are coming here, going through, and coming out here, and again they are asking, we want to see the school, where we go find the school. He said, you just came out of the school. And it depends that it does look like a school. This is the restaurant. We didn't build a mensa. We didn't want to have a mensa. We wanted to have a restaurant. We didn't want to have a library with prepared shelves. We wanted to make our own construction with our own bookshelves and a special small chapel. We wanted to have a chapel for the Christian, and for 30% of the pupils are Muslims, and therefore this is the Muslim green within this abstract manner, and this is just a flying pigeon, sort of Friedenstaube piece pigeon. The idea behind it, this is a theater. And the theater is if we build schools for children, we often, or we try to find solutions where the young children can follow the forces and see why does the thing function and how are the loads is coming down, or the roof is carried by the studs, by these artificial trees, having a tree with six branches and having this triangle grid, and as you see, everything is collected, all the load out of the roof is collected and brought safely to the ground. This is the gymnasium with this automatic ventilation through this Venturi effect. In this area, the main wind, it's almost every day windy, is western winds, and the wind is going in here, becoming faster, and in this narrowness of this, the air comes from the ground, which is drawn out of pipes which are stuck in the ground under the foundations. This is the central hall and the main market space. And the cafeteria and the market. And people who are entering here and coming in here, they don't believe that they are in a school, and therefore they ask the question again when they leave on the other side of the street. School is an addition to an existing school in Frankfurt, a Steiner School, a Waldorf School, and it's a second project of my son, Olaf, and shows the internal market. It's a very difficult ground, very small, it's very difficult to have all the ways for the fire car, how does this Feuerwehr auto?
Fire engine,
yes. Children was that they wanted a nest and a cave, not just a classroom. They wanted single toilets and a single entrance and a single wardrobe. This is a door into their house. There's a wardrobe. that's it. The toilet, and this is a look outside in this the classroom. And this is the small nest, a cave, only 2 by 2 meters, but there can sit 30 children and listen to the fairy tales. That's the classroom itself. Ja, das war das mit die Selbsthilfe, das war die Self-Project. But now I wanted to come a bit into a discussion and show free, if you are interested, projects which may be of interest for we spoke yesterday about what architecture should be or could be, and in my opinion, architecture is, must be the utmost of individual and personal for a human being. For the human being wants to be surrounded not by a standard uniform, not by a standard house, but he needs the most individualized we start again. What was the reason that we came to the solution that building is not a technical process but a social process? When I studied architecture 40 years ago, I had the feeling that the problem of architecture has to do something with industrialization, and I invented some patents and made about 20,000 bathroom units out of glass fiber, plastic. I invented different types of houses and run an office in Saudi Arabia and so on and so on. And then I started at the university, and in university we had the feeling in 1979 together with Peter Sulzer that the students didn't know much or very little about building. Process of production, and we decided that they should have the experience to build their own houses. They should build what they had designed. And this was the starting of this self-help and participation career of me personally. And the idea that this youth student's dormitory was having two corridors, and following to the corridors there were single rooms, and the single rooms could be totally be designed and decided by the students. Always a group of 7 students was responsible to build one room, and 30 students, 250 of the semester, in 2 years designed and built these houses, and the result a totally individualized rooms which are very beloved by the people. And this case was 40% of the normal investment which was needed, and this changed and so far our or my feeling of what architecture could be, that we had found out, and me personally, 2,000 hours working in 2 years on the site, and that it was much more a social process building than a technical one. And after that we had the chance that every year more and more people came with no money and a lot of need to be housed, maybe at a youth club, and out came wonderful funny things like these houses. And the inspiring sketches, which were the result of the discussions with the children, were almost sketches of my hand like this, which gives a lot of fantasy space to fantasy and freedom to interpret what it might be. And this are the Peter Lander Jones called this the starting the impulse sketches. Everything of the later project is within the sketches. You couldn't, when you did the drawings, decipher it. But in the end, the final house shows not in direct meaning, but in the atmosphere the atmosphere, the character of the house is just already shown here. And these are all houses which are made out of old pieces without money. And that we had to get this from a factory, and this from there, and this from there, and this tiled from an old, tore down some houses, and so on and so on. There are long stories behind all this. Having won the freedom, we tried in more normal projects, like a big school, like the Steiner School in Cologne, to put all this energy which we had found with a group of maybe 50 youngsters which built the youth club in such a school. Here were involved about 300 pupils, 100 parents, and about 80 or 70 teachers. In the period over 4 years, we worked together and had to get rid of the financing problems and of the building authorities and so on. And in the end, this is just started, this has come. In the end came out such a school. I do hope that I can show you later that school, the Cologne school, because now this is a Gelsenkirchen, this is a school. It was. And this school is having this main stud, and the main stud has different purposes. It's not only bearing the whole roof, giving light to the central part of the atrium of the oasis, but it is the central spine where the air intake is coming out under the ground, comes the fresh air in, blowing up here, mixed in this hall, and coming back from here again and going to the assembly hall, which is totally. So that's how the commissioning time. This was just to give. So that's what you can say. This is leider ganz schön. This is for the Gelsenkirchen school. The children design pieces like this in their classrooms, and all this was allowed to be built by this evangelic Bauherr. The most difficult project was this Enskede project, because starting with small groups in Germany and then building bigger schools in Germany, we won this competition by just entering a page a written page and not a drawn, not one drawing. And he said, if this explosion of this catastrophe in Holland, where this pyrotechnic, this fireworks factory was blown away, and it looks as if a big bomb has hit the whole part of this Enschede town. All the people which were the former inhabitants should be invited to design their, together with us, their city. And this is the blast showing how different a house or some, it's not such a big project, it's only 25 million euros, the whole thing, could look if not one architect but 500 persons participating in the planning. And the astonishing, one of the astonishing things is, Lucien may say the same, is that it's not so difficult as it seems to ask people and discuss with them and find finally a solution. And everybody who is here, the Turkish or the Arabic, and this is the Arabic chapel up there, or the small mosque, and these are the one family houses up there, and this is the houses for the old and handicapped people, and this is a school, and this is a school, and this is a school, this is the kindergarten, and this is the youth club, and so on. This is a sport area. Everything is working together, and everybody is happy that he has found his place, or will find his place finally when it is open. This school is already functioned, this too, this will be already done next 4 weeks, and next year, in the middle of next year, the whole thing will be open. This is my son Olaf, and this is the office. We are running an office with 8 to 10 architects. And the astonishing thing is that the whole part of this community are always communicating with us and with the different clients for the right solution. Which are running the inn, and it's not good to show it like this here. And 200 students of the first year were building this within 3 weeks, always 30. This is a group of 30 students, and they only worked 3 days building in a sort of field factory the single parts which were put together. You see that the single parts that he put together with the crane, all under self-help. And there's a restaurant like this, which can house 200 people, and which is worth 350,000 euro, and it was done in less than 4 weeks of this beginner architectural students in the first year. It was a great impulse for them. So, between two hollow mountains, and within the mountains there's left and right the climbing area, 60 meter and 12 meter high. So you see that we have these artificial trees, and in between there's a rope garden. There's two types of climbing. One is the climbing at the wall, and the other type is climbing at the rope garden. shall I show? Once you see something. One of these questions is always when you build as we are building, you ask yourself, what is the difference? Why are not all architects building like we are doing? And why are people loving their houses and don't destroy it and have a very high identification and nothing happens? And why do they look so different to what is going on now in the modern movement? Then you say, okay, it cannot only be this way of participating, it must be something more behind it. And the more could be that the individual is, or the human being who has lost his fur, is not able to survive without clothes and without houses, and therefore it's almost a genetic need that being a full human being, you must have a house, you must have built your house, you must have clothes, you must have, and this humane need, this is lost. Because houses are becoming goods like Lucien spoke about. Everything is sacramentovare, it's just a good which is done. Therefore, how many houses does a human being need? Is it like Armstrong on the moon, or is it like him, which is needed? And this is one of the book which is very good, showing where we are coming from Africa, and what we lost, and what we are needing. And in ancient times, this was just the roof, and they dug a hole, and outside came the clay, and they built the clay stones, and did it around like in Senegal here. And in the beginning of my career, we were very, very, very fond of that everything should be changed in 1967, 68. Everything should be totally new, and every generation should build their own surroundings and cities and houses. And cardboard housing was one of the sensations I made at that time, showing how a house, which was cheaper than the four windows we normally paid for, could look like 12 square meters. And on the Olympic Games, we had 120 of these houses delivered. And I'm living in this house. I personally have a real alternative one. I'm living in this house, in this 23 units, and the 23 units were stacked together in one day on the 5th of November 1975, and the whole thing was done within, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, and at 2 o'clock the last unit was settled, and at 4 o'clock we had a press conference, everything was functioning in the evening, 300 guests were coming, everybody was asked to bring a tree with him because this is an old garbage area, a former quarry, which we could buy. This is this experimental field where we are living, and this is my path. I'm the tropical building system. This was a time when I ran an office in Saudi Arabia, and in this other part we made some more timber houses later. And this shows this organism in this house. It's like an organism, because these are different types of units, and they function together. And no one of all these 2,000 modules which have been built are similar. Everybody is different because all this is produced in a sort of natural way, because this is a standard unit, and all the cuttings and all the specialization is already fixed in the factory into it, and therefore every one is a different part and not a Alberich says a house is like a small city, or a city is like a house, and this is interesting because this was already 1400 and 1472. I think he forgot that a house and a city must be almost the same. And therefore the most striking thing in my house is that I'm living there since 33 or 32 years, but there are always new aspects which I never seen before, new ways to look at the house. Okay, then the other thing was what has to do with this human hand, because we are the only one who can this opposition from this tip. We have this finger and this finger, we put this together, and this is creating our brain. Not the brain is creating the possibility and ability of our hand, but it's just opposite round. The men, the former ancient human beings, were able to do so many things with their hands that they were forced to communicate, and the communication developed the brain. So this means one of the latest meanings of the neurologist. Okay, and the small tools, this was Walter Segal invented that the small tool together with the self-help enables you to build your own house. It's very easy in the moment to build one's own house because you have the small machinery, the small tools, and all the ready-made timber elements. And this is again showing these totally different parts of this student's dormitory, showing another some pictures more, and they are very proud because the four built the house for the four, and they can be through the central part and say self-designed, self-built, self-lifted-in, and self-praised. This was this house here, around, and they looked into this small tower. They wanted, when they designed it, they wanted to have a central winter garden, but they had to calculate all things, and therefore the winter garden shrank to 1 meter. And this is a house, the Haber cheese, which was produced like this, coming up, it's wound up, this part was built, was put up to this is like a kinder carrier scaffolding. And this is one of these influences of when all the parents and aunts came, that we found that this social process in building is much more important and is interesting than only the technical one. And this was the reinvention of the former Chinese type of Arbeit. They are now coming to another Chinese type of work, but this was my thing. 200 youngsters and 20 tons of earth, and I bet that I grilled a lamb and a small pig, and I said I pay the lamb and the pig when you are able to have the earth earlier on the roof, and the pig is very done. And after 2 hours all this heap of earth was gone to the sea. This is such a small church which we built totally in self-help with the parish. This was already, and this is always this dimensions of building, having a nest and having a cave. And in between, I think, between these two spaces of security and adventure, the living might happen. Seven or eight important parts a good house should have. One is, a good house needs a place on the ground where you can grow up your children safely. Second is, you need a single room for privacy, which must be at least 8 square meters big. Third one is, you need a room for community, which is astonishingly must be smaller than the individual room, not like our living rooms, 20 or 30 square meters or 40 square meters, but the best rooms for meetings are the kitchen or the corridor. If you have a party, you know the party is best when you are sitting together, not in the living room is already empty, the kitchen is full, and in the corridor where the wardrobe is, everybody stays and discusses a lot of, because then this is the room for communication, where you are very close together. You must smell like your neighbor afterwards. I think this is it. And this was a psychological thing. And this is water and plants are very much needed. The human beings are they are friendly to plants, green and flowers. This is the reason why the glass houses, the greenhouses are so astonishingly good. This is the first passive solar house we built, the Sonnenwendel house, 1983 and 84. It's well functioning, with a big massive storage and a big sun trap. 250 square meters. And the reality is, if you open an architectural magazine, that the life seems to be hard, and this is not the DDR, but this is a published school, and this is built all around, all things like this. Stupid enough, you should cry, you could cry, but opening the magazines, this is a good school, and this is one architectural prize. And the corridors are long and having some stripes here that the bell is ringing, children don't have accidents coming, some running here and the other there. 150 meters long, and this is original text. Latte Flächen, Adler, Scharfe Kanten, this is a Swiss school. It's lively spaces for children to grow up. And this is a typical modern school, which are built now, corridor 95 meters long. And the text reads, it's a beautiful school because it's a beautiful view outside. And this is looks like a prison, but this is architectural prize school in Munich. And this is the space, not like a prison, it looks like a prison, 6 meter high mesh wired fences to give the architecture this impression of to being one block 280 meters by 40 meters. They wanted to have this, and this is 6 meter high, and the children don't use it because there is no space to be used, and this is the wonderful sitting Germany. It's not the same climate like in Southern Europe, therefore this is always cold or wet. And this is the school yard here, And this is not a school for adult, for older pupils. It's a school for the first 4 years. That means all the pupils are 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 years old. I show this normally without, I say this is a prison, and in the end I show this, and because we're coming nearer to it, I say, well, look where the entrance is, and they don't find the entrance, nobody finds the entrance, but there's written something, you see Schule, Eingang, entrance of the school, and then you see here entrance, 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 people even reading this entrance, you don't know how to open the stupid things, you know? And you see there's a row, so something of steel, and maybe Eingang means that you should tear there, huh? But this is 2.80 meters high, and no small child is able to open this because it is so hard to be opened that the adult one must help them. Okay, and this means that we are more thinking in architectural terms, like building for the dead and not for the living ones. And crying, this is the one of the clients who's asking for being living in a box like this, huh? And how much space do we need or do we get living in a box like architecture around us? This is a small school we built, this is another school we built, tree house, two classes house. This is the Cologne school from outside. When you enter this school, all the pupils are happy, discussing like on the Roman, old Roman market areas, agora, and so on. Nobody has any hurry, and so it is just tremendous. And it depends on what architecture offers, the light and the plants and the color and the materials and the different shapes of the. This is a Kerheim school near Stuttgart. And the question if the human beings are, say, as I always say, they need more the baroque things. They need opulenta. What means opulent? Opulent, can you say? Not the poor. They don't want the restriction. They want stronger life and activities. And the question is, the painter has the chance to make his piece of art and say, this is my piece of art, I did it or no. And the sculptor is doing his piece of art and say, okay, this is my piece of art, I did it on my own. And the architects can work like this. And there's Novalis, one of the philosophers of the 18th century, he said, dancing and architecture are the highest of the arts. What could this mean? And the meaning, I think, is that instead of the feeling that architecture is something frozen, this is as individual and special like the dancing. It doesn't give the every single second is different because how you see the light coming, how you bending your knee or your head and having an impression like that, and therefore it is not so fixed. Everybody who is forced as architect to build a house for lions, for a zoo, or to build a hangar for an aeroplane, he must ask how is the dimension of the aeroplane? How is the dimension of the animal which I shall build for? How is the behavior? and building for human beings. We're always thinking we know all about them, but we know much too little about the human beings that we could be as stupid as they are building at the moment. This is the way I showed you already. This is one of the solutions we found. Ask the people, engage them, do things together, be happy together, and enter the final building as meeting something which you already know before you have seen it first. Ja, das ist so ungefähr das, was ich so zeigen kann. And Venice, sure, but here in Alto Adige, it's almost the why look the old towns like they are looking, and why couldn't we build a bit like them if we feel so happy in such surroundings? And having a look at the plan, it's not such complicated to do it, because every single building is very simple, but they are put together in a special way and in not so strictly way. It's just a small curve coming here and that coming somehow and there again, and this is different and this is different, and this mustn't be much. But this is Salzburg now, this is Stockholm, all over the world, this is in Italy, this is Lucca, but the famous tower with the stone icon, oak trees, this is Porto, and always it's the same, and if you now see the school, it's not complicated, it's just a normal house, a normal house, a normal house, very stupid houses, but they're put together in a slightly different way like this is done. Yeah, these are our future clients. And therefore we must be careful. If we build kindergartens, we must think of the small size of the children, make ourselves. I was going down 1 meter and meeting or visiting my kindergartens. I am going always down. The last opening speech I gave as a child, I did knee down and everybody was astonished. They said, oh, I am speaking to the children because now I'm a child, because I thought of this small persons, not this totally different perspective. This is the kindergarten in Stuttgart in the Mürdiger Street. It's about 12 years old. The fantastic thing was we were allowed to make the furniture, and we decided to have for the 75 children 75 different chairs, but in the end we couldn't get so many, but we have at least 50 chairs, because we say in the normal living, in a normal family's house, there is not all furnished with the same furniture. I have schools, kindergarten, always the same chairs if the children are different. I hope that this comes, that you see one, two, well, different types, not so many, but I think totally there's maybe 50. This is the small beds for the children. Okay.